Yeah, Jesus, thank you that we can declare tonight that you are life. And that tonight when we share this word, Lord, we pray that we will drink from you, the fountain of life. That it will not be religion or human thought, thinking, but that we will receive what you're telling us in the spirit. In Jesus' name, thank you that we know that you're here. I pray that you will anoint every one of us, Lord, to hear your voice speaking to our hearts tonight, so that when we go from here, that we will know that we know that we know that we have met with you and with your spirit, in Jesus' name. And we all say, Amen. So the topic that I want to share with you tonight is called Digging Your Own Wellsprings of Life. Digging your own wellsprings of life. So just before I start with what I have prepared, who of you have been in Namibia quite recently or just a long time ago? Quite recently, have you seen how dry it is now in Namibia? It's extremely dry. So when you get to places like Marintal or Stamprit and those places in the Kalahari, close to the Kalahari, you will see how dry it is, only red sand and dunes. And those people know what it means when they say it is dry. It is really dry. It's like all the boreholes and everything is drying up at this stage. So a few years ago, one of the farmers in Stamprit, his name is Dirkie Kotze, he said, Len, I want to show you something. So in that parched land, dry land, he took me to a well, a borehole. They don't call it wells nowadays, they call it boreholes, a deep borehole in Stamprit. It was more than 100 meters deep. And that is, they even get deeper than that, 300 meters at the deepest, some of them. But when they find water, they find this underwater lake. It's one of the biggest lakes in the world. Fresh, cool water, underwater lake. And when they reached it, and the borehole reached the depth of the water, then it actually burst out from underneath to the top. And then it's actually, they measured it. The pressure at the top is 2 bar. It's the same as the pressure that you pump your tires on your car. And they need to control it with a valve. So it's absolutely amazing to see it. Fresh, clear water, you can drink it. And what they do is they build a sort of a splash pool, and they fill it with water, and then from that they irrigate the lands, from that they plant lucerne. To see this is just so wonderful. In a dry land like that, you see this borehole, they swim in it when they need some to cool off, and then they irrigate the land and they plant lucerne, and they actually harvest the lucerne for the sheep and for the cows. So that for me is living water. That's digging a well. So on our way to Hermanus, on the way when we, Etty and I was just thinking of everything and praying, I came to this thought, I want to share with you, digging your own wellsprings of life. We need, as individuals, we need to dig our own wellsprings of life. Otherwise, we will be like some of the men's camps goers. After a while, when you see them again after 3 months, you ask them, how are you doing? And he will say to you, I need to get to the camp again. I need to charge my batteries again. Because the camp charged my batteries, so I need to get there again. So that's not the right thing to say. Do you agree? I mean, you can't be a church goer or a men's camps goer and that need to charge your battery. You need to charge your battery on your own. You need to dig your own wellspring of life. You need to find it. Sometimes it's not so easy, but I hope after tonight that you will go from here and that you know that your inheritance from the Lord is that you will be sustained by the Spirit of the Lord and by His Word so that you can find your own wellspring of life. And it's not religion. So we will get to that point. I believe religion is actually the thing that hinders you to get to the wellspring of life. Jesus is the wellspring of life. So the question is, I ask Etty, so what, hoe kom denk jy, ek kan nie vir die ouens sê, grou jou eie put. Is jy alright? Is jy met my? Ek praat so nou in Afrikaans. I can't tell her, Ek het nie in Afrikaans met haar gepraat nie, in Engels met haar gepraat nie, ek het in Afrikaans gepraat met haar, maar nou sê ek van, how can I tell guys to dig their own wells if they are not thirsty? And I didn't get the answer. So I'm a bit derailed tonight with my preach. So what makes us thirsty? What makes a person thirsty to dig his own well? I mean, in the natural, when you go for a walk in the desert, you will become thirsty. Wie van julle was al regtig dors gewees? Who have you were really thirsty? So you're looking for water, and please give me water now, please. I'm dying of thirst. I don't think, not many of us. I mean, we were thirsty, but there's a real thirst that we don't know of. So how do we get people thirsty? Otherwise, I can't tell you to go and dig your well if you're not thirsty. What makes people thirsty? Say, soap. Salt. Oh, I haven't thought of that, yeah. Okay. Maybe the word is the salt of, I don't know. But think with me, you know, I want you to dig your own well, but then maybe I need to pray before I help you to dig your own well. I need to pray. You have to become thirsty before that. Because Jesus said in this, listen to this, John 7, 37 to 38, you can put it up there. Philip is doing the AV, am I right? No one? Hallo Philip. Lekker man. Ons is 1 jaar se kaler, so ons werk op dieselfde spoed. So, on the last day, the climax of the festival, it was a what? A religious Jewish festival. So Jesus was looking at this festival. He was part of it. And then I think he couldn't bear it anymore. And Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds. Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. And it struck me just this afternoon. Many times I pray for people, please Lord save them. But maybe I should pray, please Lord make them thirsty. I don't know how. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink, for scripture declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart. So Jesus made this announcement. He declared, you guys who are busy with, that's part of my preach, just busy with religious activities will not quench your thirst. But come to me, Jesus said. Anyone who is thirsty, come to me. Come to me. So, I'm still with this question. What makes people thirsty? So, maybe this is one of the reasons. Many times, we own well to drink is because we are drinking from wells that do not have life-giving water. We become not thirsty. Listen carefully. Because we drink from wells that do not have life-giving water. That's why we do not become thirsty. We drink, we become thirsty, and we drink again, and we become thirsty again. But Jesus said to the woman at the well, if you drink from the water that I will give you, you will never become thirsty again. So the message tonight is, I'm getting there. So Lord, help me to get there. But I need, and you need, to get to a place in my life where I have a well that I drink from. It cannot be the church, or Russ and Margot, or the men's camp, or your community, or the church, or whoever. It's got to be Jesus. You have to find that place where you dig a well, and you know that thirst inside of you is only quenched by himself. He's the life. He's the living waters. Listen what Jesus said and what God says in Jeremiah 2:13. For my people have done two evil things. They have abandoned me, the fountain of living water. and they have dug for themselves cracked cisterns that can hold no water at all. So people, they get thirsty, but the problem is they drink from wrong sources. That's why they get thirsty again and again. Are you with me? I mean, the message tonight is that I need and you need to find a way of living where I know that I know that I've dug my own well. I know that I know I'm fulfilled inside of me. On the camp, I preached about purpose. That's one thing that the Lord in my life is part of my testimony. I was a farmer, and I was battling with this whole thing of being a farmer. It's wonderful to be a farmer, or a teacher, or a doctor, or a fisherman, or whatever. But if there's no living water from Jesus himself, you will stay empty. You can't find fulfillment in your occupation. You have to find fulfillment in your relationship with God. That's the fountain of living water. And I couldn't come to a rest until that day that I saw this and I gave my life to Jesus. And then all of a sudden, things started to change. And I found fulfillment. I was still a farmer, and it was still wonderful to be a farmer. But something settled in my heart, and I found life. So just think with me. As a human race today, most are so busy with the rat race. Come on. Just if you talk to people, die ding wat hulle die meeste mee sukkel, wat meeste ouens vir jou sal sê is, ek het nie tyd nie, my broer. I don't have the time anymore. Tyd is nie myne nie. Se graag? Se rat race. Ons het op die kamp ook gehoor, bied gepraat oor die rat race, jy. Ja, ek kan nie onthou nie. Dis 'n rot reesies. Ons jag iets wat nie van die Here af is. Dis iets rat race. Ons is so besig, né? And then we connected to the world through Facebook. WhatsApp. X. Ek hoor net van hierdie goeie, so I'm not busy with it. X. Ek weet daar's nou X. X, Instagram, en al die goedes. And when you have open time, they fill it with Netflix, YouTube, etc. And they go on and on. We're a connected generation. But that's how we fill our thirst. That's how we quench our thirst inside of us. We have a need to find something in our life that will give us fulfillment. And you can find it in Facebook. You can find it in all that stuff if you're addicted to it. You will find fulfillment in it. Am I right? You can become a workaholic. A workaholic. You will find fulfillment in work, in performance, in money, in power. And what you do is you drink from anything but the Lord. That's what it is. So that's why Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, come and drink. So the question is, how can I make you thirsty? How can I become thirsty? That's the question. How can I stay thirsty? So I know I love tea and coffee and cold drink and juice and now and then a bit of water. So it's just the other way around with my wife. She drinks 95% of the time, she drinks water, and pure water. I mean, not any water, pure water. And I was thinking about it. I think she found living water. I believe water is much more healthier than all the other stuff. But we need to find living water and not drink from anything but God. So, Lord, help me tonight. Let us get to that place where you and I can just come to a place where we can grab this truth that we will find water. The also story is, as when you find the well and you dug the well and you find living water, many times the enemy fills the well with earthly matters. So it's possible that you can find it. And when you found it, you find this wonderful relationship with the Lord. You found, it's just amazing to hear His Spirit and everything. And you walk in the Spirit and you hear His voice. And then all of a sudden, you become dry. You know what I'm talking about? You become dry. You become tired. You become dry. Your well dries up. And this is the way it is. If we're not careful, the enemy will come in and fill it with soil, with earthy matters, and with clutter, so that you will not be able to drink from the fountain again. So listen to this wonderful passage in Genesis 26. So Jacob, so the Philistines filled all up all of Isaac's wells with dirt. These were the wells that had been dug by the servants of his father Abraham. So the Philistines, you know, in those days, Isaac was a very wealthy man with lots of cattle and sheep and everything and donkeys and camels. But he needed living water. He needed water. Without water in those days, you're dead, man. You're dead. So what did the Philistines do? They filled up all of Isaac's wells with dirt. These were the wells that had been dug by the servants of his father, Abraham. Go on, please, Philip. Okay. So Isaac moved away to the, how do you pronounce that? Gerar Valley, where he set up their tents and settled down. Is it all? Okay, to 19. He reopened the wells his father had dug, which the Philistines had filled in after Abraham's death. Isaac also restored the names Abraham had given them. Yeah. And then Isaac's servants also dug in the Gerar Valley and discovered a well of fresh water. So this what happened in the physical world. Isaac is many times what happens to us in our lives. We found the well. We find it. And then if we're not careful, the enemy will come in and fill that well and block that well with earthly matters. The reality of life is that the life that we live is that there will always be an effort from the enemy to fill up the life-giving wells we found in Christ with dirt or earthly things. Isaac was very successful and rich, but his life source was blocked up. Life-giving water for his household and his livestock. He had to start all over again, otherwise they will die. So what a wonderful message to this whole thing, the scripture is that he went to the valley, and in the valley, he pitched his tent in the valley. And the name Gerar means lodging place. So he set up his tents in the valley. And there from the valley he went and redug the wells of his father. And he even found a well of living water in the valley. So sometimes we get thirsty when we are in the valley, not on the mountaintop. But most of us, when we're in the valley, when there are challenges in our lives, most of us run from the valley. We run away from the valley. But Isaac said, no, I will pitch my tent there. And I will again go and find the wells of Abraham, my father, and I will re-dig that wells and find the water. And I will even dig another well and find living water. So for us, it makes sense to me. Sometimes we get thirsty when we hit rock bottom. So please don't pray for me that I will hit rock bottom, but sometimes we need that challenge in life to find the well. We need it. God puts it in our life so that at that stage, we don't have anything or anyone to go to. And we start to dig the wells again and we find living water. Don't run away from the challenge that you have. Don't draw back. But that's how you find that well where you can live from. Dig your well. Find that place where you can know that you know, listen, I'm going to face this thing in my life. I don't know what it is. But I'm going to face it. And when I face it, I'm going to dig this well. I will find joy. I will find Jesus. I will find faith. I will stay at this place. I will not run away. And when you do it, you will even be able to find another well, which was not there. And even find more life in a place of what's called a valley. Does it make sense? So you have to find that, guys, as an individual. You have to know that you know that you know. Listen, I have found a well in my life. I know it's not religion. I know it's intimacy with God. I know that I find life. So, you know what? I'd like to name a few earthly things that will block our wells. The first thing that I believe is the spirit of religion, and I call it self-righteousness. It's doing good things to feel good in an effort to be accepted by God. That's what it is. Doing good things to feel good in an effort to be accepted by God. That's religion, spirit of religion. You feel good. I'm not saying you're not supposed to do good things. But if you do it and you think that's the well that you drink from, you're making a mistake. Dit noem ons 'n gees van godsdienst. Ek probeer goed voel en goed lyk sodat ek aanvaarbaar kan wees by God of by mense. That's blocking the well. That's not spirit life. That's religion. I can go on with this. This is the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They couldn't see Jesus just because of a spirit of religion. Until this day, we're still battling with this thing. It's a spirit. And it's blocking your well. If you don't find the spirit, if you don't find life, you know you're either in the spirit or you're into a spirit of religion. If you say that you're a Christian or you're in your flesh altogether. But I mean, if many of us come to faith and come into Christianity, and the next thing that we do is we are guided into a life of religious activities, and we're not finding the spirit of God. You have to find the spirit of God. Well, I believe one of the main factors is the spirit of religion blocking our wells. But loving the world and the things of the world more than God, in other words, idols, will block your well. Idols, for sure. Unrepentant sin. Now, let me just name unrepentant sin. Thinking of this, I was so convinced that it doesn't mean that I did something that I didn't repent of. It means that I didn't do something God asked me to do. That's disobedience. And if you didn't do it, that's unrepentant sin. If you walk in unrepentance, disobedience. So I know for me, this is true for myself. God asked me so many times to do something or to change in a certain way or to change something in my life. And I disobeyed him. So that is a sin. And that can block the well as well. Does it make sense? I mean, this is a challenge for me. We need to come before the Lord. And Lord, if there's something in my life that I didn't obey, there's something that you show me, some sin in my life. I'm not talking about pornography and all that stuff. I mean, that's also one of the stuff. But just the small things in my life that I'm disobeying God with. That is one of the things. Taking offense, unforgiveness. I can go on and on and on. But I mean, that's what the enemy does. He comes in and he will block your well. So how do we dig our own wells? And how do we guard our wells so that the enemy will not block it with early things? The first thing that I know, I have to live in, stay with, and follow the Spirit. And that way we drink from Jesus himself. I need to be connected to the Holy Spirit from the morning that I wake up till I go to sleep at night. I have to be connected to him. Otherwise, I won't find life. I have to hear his voice. Because without the Spirit, I will not be able to see the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is God's rule and reign in my life. That's what it is. I will not be able to see it. See it. Discern it. So when Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, he said, Nicodemus, if you're not born again, you will not be able to see the kingdom of God. He didn't say you won't be able to go to heaven. I think it means that as well. But what he said to him is, you will not be able to see. You will not be able to discern. You have to be born again by the Spirit to see. And I think many Christians today are not seeing. They're not seeing. They're not drinking from the well of the Spirit. I mean, it's got to be a thirst in ourselves, a desire to hear the voice of the Spirit every day, to have his discernment, to know what he's saying in that precise moment when you're making decisions, when you have to operate in the operate spirit, when you have to be kind, to bear his fruit and to see the grace of God on your life, his gifts flowing from you. It's got to be a hunger in our hearts to live that way. That's Christianity. Otherwise, you're just churchy. I don't want to be churchy. I want to be filled with the Spirit. That's why God gave you something like a heavenly language. When you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, you're connected with the Spirit. When I pray in tongues, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to disconnect my mind so that I can stay in spirit with the Holy Spirit and hear and wait upon Him. Like when you go to God every morning and you spend time with Him, it's not just doing a Bible study of a dagstukkie van iemand nie. Met alle respect gesê, ek het niks teen dagstukkies nie. Ek sê net, you have to find a well. Your own well. You can't drink from that man's well. You have to know when the Lord's speaking to you, you need to hear His voice. That's digging your own well. And you will live from that place. If you obey Him when He speaks, and sometimes He's not commanding something, sometimes He's just encouraging you. Sometimes He will just tell you how He loves you. But you must be able to hear that. Otherwise, you're not walking in the Spirit. You're not living in the Spirit. Just listen to this wonderful passage. In 1 Corinthians 2, 10 to 15. It's a New Living Translation. Yeah. Yeah, okay. I'm reading it here. Yeah. But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. For His Spirit researches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. Who wants to know God's deep secrets? Come on, man. That sounds so much deeper than just being religious. Come on. Ek was so godsdienstig. Oh, my siel. Ek was 'n ouderling en 'n diaken en ek was so ongered soos 'n klip. Come on, man. I know what it is to be religious. But I want to know God's deep secrets by His Spirit. I mean, it's your inheritance. You see, nowhere in the Bible it says, when you're born again and you come to Jesus, He wants to make you a better man. I don't want to be a better man. I want to die completely and to be raised up a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if someone is in Christ, he's a new creature. A new creature who will discern in the Spirit, who will be able to hear His voice. And when you look at the world out there, outside, you will have the discernment of the Spirit to know what is false and what is truth. Come on. You need to know that. Who wants it? I want it. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. No one can know God's thought except God's own spirit. If you don't have the Spirit, you won't know what goes in God's heart. Are you connected to the Spirit? Are you really connected? I mean, many years I testified this every Sunday. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Huh? And that was it. I believed in the Holy Spirit, yes, but there was no experience of the Holy Spirit. So your inheritance is that the Spirit will be inside of you and you will be able to experience the Holy Spirit every day. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit. So we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. People who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. You have to be spiritual. You are a spirit. You live in a body. And you have a soul. Come on. First and foremost, God made us spirit beings. Otherwise, you won't be able to live forever. This is not my main, what you call it? My main faculty. Is that right? This is not my main faculty. My main faculty is my spirit. I live in this tent. En hierdie tent word nou ouer. Die palle begin buig. Die zip wil nie mooi toegaan meer nie. Die tent word ouer. But I will get a new tent one day. But my spirit will not get old. I need to focus on my spirit, not on my body. I can become an old man, but be still very strong in the spirit. Does it make sense? That will keep my well flowing, if I stay in that place, because the Spirit will become inside of you a wellspring of life. You know what it means? You will drink from it first. You will drink from that well first. Before you think it's all about ministry, it's not about the gifts and even the fruits, is that you will drink from that well first, you as a human being. So where are we? Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truth. Okay, it all sounds foolish to them, and they cannot understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. God is good, and He wants to reveal Himself to us, but He's not cheap. He's not cheap. He's good, but He's not cheap. He will not share His glory with any other. You have to wait on Him. Clear yourself from the clutter. We need to clear ourselves. You know what? You know what? When we spend time with God, sometimes I find my cell phone next to me. And then now and then I just have a glimpse. Maybe there's a WhatsApp or something. Sure. And I was thinking to myself, Len, what are you doing? It's terrible. You're spending time in God's presence and you still have one eye on your cell phone. I think it's terrible. I think the enemy has. I love cell phones. We can't work without cell phones, I mean. But I think it has become a major tool in the enemy's hand to destroy the fountain of living water. We need to wait on the Lord. If you've got a question for yourself in your life, you don't know what to do, you have to find that answer yourself first. First. You have to dig your well. You have to wait on the Lord. Maybe it's going to take you many weeks, many months, maybe sometimes years. I'm praying for something and someone for many years. No answer. I have to wait on the Lord for this. Wait. I think people have lost the ability to wait on God. They can wait. They don't want to wait anymore. It's like they say in the mornings, you know what, God, I'm on my way to work. I'm in a hurry. You've got 10 minutes. You've got 10 minutes, God. Then I'm gone. Then I'm off here. If you don't speak in 10 minutes, you're going to miss it. Is ek bietjie regheid? Is ek bietjie regheid? But that's not digging your own well. Come on. You have to make time for the Lord. Make time for the Lord. Make time, what I mean is not giving Him 10 minutes on every morning, but take a day off. Pack your backpack and go up the mountain and look for God. That can mean anything to you. And I'm not saying you have to go up the mountain, but you can go anywhere else if you find solitude and looking for God. He promised you will find Him. He did promise that. But that's digging your well. So that you can come back and your wife asks you, so where were you? I spent time with God. So what did God speak to you? You won't believe you. You won't believe me. But He told me this and He told me that and He told me this and He spoke this scripture to me. And you start to share. That's how my life in Jesus started. I was so hooked up in religion. For the first time in my life, I had this experience that I have the Holy Spirit now and I can hear His voice. And I can, and this same scripture, I read it 1,000 times, but all of a sudden, just because I'm born again, I've got the Spirit of God, it came alive to me completely. And this is what it means. And I preach to my wife. That's why she's such a good person today. I practiced on my wife. And I just shared this wonderful experience with God. And you know what? The older you get, the more you get used to ministry, the more you get used to building church and everything else, you get experienced and skilled, the greater the danger that you will not drink from the well, but that you will begin to live from your experience, from your knowledge, and from your skills. And you get dry and you wonder why people are not getting saved. When you preach and there's no, the yoke is still there. The yoke's not destroyed. There's no anointing. Come on. You know what I'm talking about. That's old truth. That's the wells of Abraham. But we need to re-dig again. You can't change that. There's no new time religion that can change it. Old time religion says you have to spend time with God. Just think for yourself. Many times I think of this. God said to Moses, go up the mountain, I want to speak to you. So how long was he up the mountain? You know. 40 days and 40 nights without food and water. Food and water. Sure, was that necessary? God? Was that really necessary? Yeah, that was necessary. I want him to be so clean so that he will hear every instruction that I give him. And did he not hear every instruction again? He came down and he said, this is how it's going to be. But you know, he came down, then he found the whole nation was sinning with a golden calf. And after that, he went again up the mountain, 40 days and 40 nights, without food and water. I think he was as thin as a visgraat. He said, this is a visgraat. But if Moses, who walked with God, God spoke to him audibly, not like maybe a thought, like I speak to you, Ross, now, God spoke to Moses. If Moses needed 80 days without fasting, with fasting on the mountain, how can we not wait on the Lord? Now, but we've got the Spirit now inside of us. Yeah, we do. Wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. But I believe Moses had also. He was filled with the Spirit. Even more than I think we all can experience. But he needed to wait on God. The rat race that we live in, preachers don't preach this anymore. Is that we don't make time for God. We don't have time for God anymore. And then we say this, you know what? God will understand. One day when we stand before him, God, I know that you wanted me to wait on you, but I think you understand. We lived in 2024. You remember? God, it was a terrible time. There was no time for us to wait on you. Yes, my son. Don't worry, I understand. You think that's what you're going to say? No. there will come a day. You will stand before him. And we will give account of our time. You will give account of your time. Of your money. Of your marriage. Of the Bible. He gave us his word. Of the Holy Spirit. Did you connect with my Holy Spirit? Or did you just do good things to feel good about it? Sure. Does it make sense? We need to find that place, Ross. Every one of us. I mean, that's discipleship. That's what it is. It's not, I don't want you to become like me. I don't want you to follow me. You're not supposed to follow Ross, but you are supposed to follow Ross as he follows Jesus. But you need to find your own well. You need to find that source of life in your life. Without it, you're just a churchgoer, that's all. I don't want to be a churchgoer anymore. And then it's a meeting of the board. Bored. I'm really bored. Come on. Let me just mention a few things, then I'm going to land this. But I believe digging that well is that you have to get into the Word. You have to stay connected with the Holy Spirit, but you have to get into the Word. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting through soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. So you need to get in such a way into the Word that it will expose your innermost thoughts and desires, emotions. So it's not just reading the Word. It's asking God when you read the Word, Lord, is there anything in this passage that speaks to my heart that I need to be corrected to? Or maybe just come in line with. Does it make sense? That's the living word. If you don't embrace the word like that, it will only become a Bible that's out there somewhere. And Ross is going to preach on it on Sunday. But it doesn't become life-giving word to you. That's the Rhema word. Have you heard of the word Rhema? Rhema is revelational word for you. Something that God speaks to you. Logos word is just reading the word. You're just reading text. But you need revelational word. I need revelational word from God. What is God saying to your life? I need to ask you now. Tell me now, in this moment, Monet, what is God speaking to your life? And then you have to answer me. You have to have an answer. I don't say you have to answer me, but you have to have an answer. You have to say, you know what? I believe. You can say, I believe God is speaking this thing in my life. He's putting his finger on something in my life. Hello? Let's dig in your well. Come on, man. Seeking. Yeah. This, let me go to this next point. Giving yourself to a family. If you want to stay fresh and drink from the well, we need to, like this, what happened tonight, is when you get connected to a family. I need you. You need me. My well will dry up if I put myself aside. It will. I mean, that's just the spiritual truth. Romans 1, 11 to 12 says, for I long to visit you so that I can bring you some spiritual gift that will help you grow strong in the Lord. When we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. This is Paul speaking. Paul speaking. He needed other brothers and sisters. So if he needed it, wie is ek om te sê, ek het dit nie nodig nie. Ons het mekaar so nodig. Okay, what about this one? Seeking the unsaved and share Jesus with him. Come on, man. That's what the men's camp did to me. It's when you take out, you look, before you go to the men's camp, you put your eyes out for a Philistine. Uncircumcised Philistine. Unsaved. A friend of yours. But someone who needs God. And then you start to pray for that person. And you pray weeks before the men's camp. And then you ask him to the men's camp. Won't you go with me to the men's camp, please? I'll pay your ticket for you. I'll pay you. $450, what is that? It's nothing to get someone saved. And then you take him to the men's camp. And then maybe on that camp, you see this man. You see the dam wall just burst. And he comes to the Lord. And he gets saved. And he gets baptized. And he gets filled with the Holy Spirit. And he goes back to his family and to his environment and his business or wherever. And he's a changed man completely. Let me tell you, your water will flow. You will not become dry. Because that's just part of life. I get so filled up with living water when I see something happens like that. I get so filled with what can I call it? Just the anointing of God. Just because I see someone is getting saved. And maybe I was just the key. I've had many experiences. I mean, I've invited lots of men to men's camps. And some of them never went. Just before we go, I get this phone call like, Len, you won't believe what happened just now. My whole family pitched over here. My whole family came to visit me this weekend. I cannot tell them I'm going to a men's camp. Sorry, I'll see you next time. And the next time it's the same thing, and next time the same thing. And you never see that guy. He never came. But then you get, after maybe 4 or 5 attempts, you can't get this one guy. Okay, I'll go this weekend. And then it happens on that weekend. God has his timing, but you need to pray for it. You need to pray for it. But when you see that happens, let me tell you, as a born again believer, there's nothing more fulfilling in your life to see someone coming to the Lord. It cannot be. Then guard your heart more than anything else. Come on. If you see that well flowing, guard your heart more than anything else. Don't allow earthly things to penetrate the life of your heart. The kingdom is taken by force. You know the scripture. That force is your determination to live and respond in the opposite spirit. It will keep your well flowing. That is why I said it's not going to change Margot. He has decided to operate in the opposite spirit and he will not allow earthly things that will come into his life. Come on. He will not again kick the dog when he gets home out of frustration. I'm just joking. Yeah, I just remember there's one guy coming back from a men's camp. He said, you know what, I even stopped kicking the dog. Yes, I know. I'm a different person. Come on, guard your heart more than anything else. Then the last thing, keep refreshed. Take a break, man. Take a break. Find what is giving life to your well and go out there with joy. You need it. We're human beings. We need to find a rest time, a peaceful rest time. Go fish, man. Climb a mountain. Do a mole crawl. My wife, she wants her well to flow, she does a mole crawl. But if I go with her and I do that mole crawl, I'm finished. My well is dead, never mind blocked up. But then I ask her after hours of mole crawl, so what did you buy? Nothing. I said, seriously? You spend all these hours in the mall? Yeah, but they don't have my number. My size. Not my number shoe and my size shoe. Hulle het nie my nommer nie. Sê ek, ja, wel, dit is hier die hele groot mall nie jou nommer nie. Dan sê sy, dis nie oor dit nie. Ek is net, ek ontspan net as ek het doen. En sê ek, oké, okay, that's the truth. Do a mall crawl. Huh? Ja. Swim in the sea. Have friends over for supper. Get someone that will make you laugh. Come on. We need joy. The joy of the Lord is our protection. And we'll keep that well flowing. I once heard someone saying, the glory of God is man fully alive. The glory of God is man fully alive. You know, there are so many problems in the time that we live in. So many future happenings. I never thought, to be honest tonight, I never thought that Trump is going to be president again. Spiritually, it doesn't make sense. I thought that the lady will become president and that it will enhance our time in the world, the time clock in the world. But I was totally mistaken. God has a plan. I cannot do anything about it. I don't want to do anything about it. But I want to live fully alive. I want myself to find that well and stay alive. Are you with me?